Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. Let's return to Jesus' words spoken in his sermon given on a mountain. Well, that was just an ordinary mountain until Jesus preached, and then it became the mountain. And this sermon was repeated elsewhere, such as down on the plain. This is the greatest sermon ever given, and it applies to every Christian through all the ages until Christ returns. I find it particularly insightful in correcting some of the behavior Christians have been expressing at the time of the election. And last time, I was upfront and honest, telling you about my own struggles to practice what Jesus preaches. So this is a sermon for me. I am right here with you, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, to fulfill the commands of Christ. May the Holy Spirit enable and empower us to live like this. Like what? Well, listen again to our Lord in Matthew 5 and Luke 6. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. And what is the motivation for acting like this? Because this is what God does. Why should we pray for, love, do good, and bless such people? Because God loves and does good and blesses people, people that are his enemies. Think about us. We were once enemies of God, and how did God treat us? He loved us. He did good for us, and he blessed us. Therefore, being like God, we must do the same for our enemies. It is crucial when we are watching what is happening in the United States, how corrupt our culture is, how sinful and ungodly, really how pagan, and how politicians from both parties are a reflection of the sinfulness of the American electorate. It is crucial that we remember these are people who are totally lost spiritually. They need to hear, accept, receive, believe the gospel for themselves. They need redemption. Writing about this in his excellent book, Studies in the Sermon on the Mount, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, quote, "The first thing of necessity is that our treatment of others must never depend upon what they are or upon what they do to us. It must be entirely controlled and governed by our view of them and their condition. These are people who are evil, foul, and unjust. Nevertheless, God is governed by his own love to them." He continues, "God's love does not depend upon anything that is in us. It is in spite of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What made him do it? Was it something lovely or loving or lovable in us or in the world? Was it something that stimulated the eternal heart of love? Nothing whatsoever. It was entirely and altogether in spite of us. What moved God was his own eternal heart of love, unmoved by anything outside itself." Close quote. Well, that's so true, and these are very wise words. When we consider our enemies, both real and perceived, when we frame people from the opposite political perspective, from our own, as enemies, what is our response to them? Well, God's response to his enemies is love. Therefore, Jesus commands us, love your enemies. We must see every person in our society for who they are, men and women, boys and girls, in need of the love, mercy, and grace of God to bring them to salvation from sin. Rather than hating them, we are to love them, and by loving them, we will have opportunities to draw them to Christ Jesus, their only hope of salvation and transformational behavior. This all goes back to our mission in this world, disciple making. Let's talk briefly about this word Jesus uses, the word love. This is the Greek word agape, and it is love that seeks and works to meet the highest welfare in another person. When we exercise agape love towards another person, we have their best interests and good in mind. We want to meet their needs. Yes, this involves emotion, but more so action. Think again of our God. This is the kind of love he demonstrates in action. We already heard John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God loves, and that love is manifest in action. He sent his Son. We have this again in 1 John chapter 4. The same apostle is writing, and he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." You hear it there. God is love. And God manifested, God demonstrated, God took action to love by sending his Son Jesus into the world that we might live through him. It is not that we loved God, but it is that God loved us. Therefore, we must turn around and love one another with the same love by which God loves us. "Let us love one another, for love is from God," says John. In verses 11 and 12, he adds, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." So, do we love others as God loves us? Do we embrace our enemies in love? Agape. It is that love that seeks and works to meet the highest welfare in another person. When we exercise agape love towards another person, we have their best interests and good in mind. We want to meet their needs. Is this what we express towards our enemies? Do we envelop our enemies in this kind of love? I pray that along with me, you will not just pass this by and go about your day. Rather, let's carefully examine our lives and excel still more when we love our enemies, and change our attitudes and actions when we have not loved our enemies. Remember in Matthew 5, Christ adds, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." And in Luke 6, "You will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." When we love our enemies, we are like God. When we hate our enemies, we are unlike God. Do we want to be God-like? Then we love. And love is manifest in action. What action can we take this very day and night to express agape love to those who hate us, mistreat us, persecute us, those who really cannot stand us? Answer, then do it. You and me both. Let's apply Christ's sermon to our lives. And of course, there are all sorts of dimensions to how we can apply loving our enemies. Sometimes our enemies are other Christians, and while that is very worthwhile to explore, we will not do that today. Sometimes our enemies are in our families, sometimes in our workplace, in our neighborhood. Anyone live next door to someone who hates you? And sometimes our enemies are in our schools. But sticking with our current focus, often we have enemies when it comes to politicians and policies. And when our candidate loses, when the person we support did not win the election, then often our hatred comes roaring out of our dark souls. Christian people, we have to monitor our feelings and emotions carefully. When outcomes go our way and when outcomes do not go our way, remember our primary focus is not political, it is spiritual. God is sovereign always. His will is being done. Our mission remains the same, making disciples. And while some involvement in changing government policies remains, let us not get over-involved, making activity in political movements our mission. Furthermore, let us love our enemies. Maybe you noticed this, maybe not, but there is something else Christ commands that we have thus far passed over. He says, pray for those who persecute you. And that is what I want to take up next time. What does this mean, and how can we practice what is preached in our prayers? Speaking of prayer, let's end in prayer. Father God, thank you for this time we have together. I pray for us that we will obey your command to love our enemies. Holy Spirit, please help us with this. Give us practical action to take and empower us to do it. Amen. Well, please join us again next time because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.